What a week it's been. I know you've all been watching the news, and you know, when it comes time to bring the word, you know that most people have been, of course we are, you know, we're in tune with the news. We love Israel. We love it. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. You can take your seat. But when you've been watching the news and you hear what's going on, and it's just been so devastating and ugly, and you know, some people have called these people animals. I want to tell you something. Animals don't act that way. They don't decapitate babies and strip people and beat them and rape them and take them out in the middle of the street or record videos doing such things. Are you serious? And this is none of my business, but I'll just go ahead and say it anyway, okay? All right. So, you know, some today can watch violence. And I want to say with you young people, don't start there. Don't go there. And because the more violence you watch on TV, it will harden your heart. And whenever you see something so terrible like that, people would say, did you see those videos? Of course not. I don't want to look at a baby like that. I don't want to see what's happening to that poor woman. I don't want to see that. And if you watch things like that, I don't know. I just don't know how you can watch that and not have a hardened heart. But I'll tell you one thing. If you do watch it, you're going to have a hardened heart. Because nothing will shock you anymore, and it doesn't make you cry, and it doesn't move you. It's just a terrible thing that's happening. And so I know that we're in a time of war, so it was really hard for me, and I spent more time in prayer over this, believe me, than I did in study, because most of the study were the scriptures that the Holy Spirit was bringing back to just bring the parallel with what was happening. So that's how it all came together. But I said, Lord, you know, We know that we're in a time of war, and how can I get up there and talk as though we're not? And anyway, I'll just get started and shut up. But Father, I just ask for your help this morning. You know I need it. You know I need it, and you know we all need it. And so, Lord, I pray that you will open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our minds to understand. Anoint my lips, Lord, and my heart to bring your word with the anointing and with conviction. And Lord, we pray for the people of Israel. And we pray for the innocent people, Lord, in Gaza. We pray for the innocent. What we pray, Lord, that you will cause Israel to come forth, Lord, and destroy the destroyers in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Okay, so here's the deal between Hamas and Israel that we're hearing so much about. Listen, Israel is the most sophisticated, the most intelligent people on the face of the earth. I mean, they just are. They have more minerals and wealth and everything in the ground, and that's why everybody's after them. Their technology surpasses anybody else's. Their intel is unbelievable, just totally sophisticated and way out there above everybody. And that's because the hand of God is upon them. Though they reject his son and do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, over and over these people have gotten in trouble. You may have been here Wednesday night. Some of you may have agreed and didn't agree, but it was still the truth. And I worried about that all week because I thought, God, I know some may have not gotten that. He gave me two confirmations, which I didn't need it. I know what the word says. But Jonathan Kahn was on Daystar, and Jonathan Kahn came on and talked about the very thing I talked about Wednesday night, how the people of Israel have been disobedient. They reject Jesus as a Messiah. And then God delivers them even from the time of Babylonian captivity. and Moses leading them out. And they would praise God 1 minute and thank him for what he did. The next minute, they're doing it again. You know, totally disobedient again. So I'm praying that this time, they will see Jesus as a Messiah. Now, that's going to happen one day. And what if it's this time? If it is, we are all in for a huge blessing. Yeah, because see, God used us to provoke them to jealousy. I heard Netanyahu the other day said, "Oh, we appreciate America. We appreciate you Christians praying for us." I saw a man yesterday who said that he had served for 30 years. He served all the prime ministers of Israel. I don't know how many prime ministers that was. He didn't say. But he had served them for 30 years. And here's what he said. And this is where the Holy Spirit started turning this message. And he said, but the journalist said, but how did they get past your intel? You guys just have it going on, in other words. My goodness, your intel so surpasses anything on earth. And America is so sharp, and America's always watching, and Israel's always watching. What in the world? And what could you say? Can you offer us any help to understand how that enemy got across enemy lines? Though they know they parachuted in on these little hang gliders. Somebody told me that little motor that brought them in wasn't even as powerful as a lawnmower motor. I don't know if that's true. You men might know that. But they just came in. Some said they used their bulldozers to break through barriers. I don't know. It's just crazy. And so they asked him, so can you tell us how they beat your intel? And he said, and you know what? The man really didn't skip a beat. He didn't let 3 or 4 seconds go by before he said, oh, I'll tell you what I think for whatever it's worth. He said, they were busy fighting over politics. They were fussing and they were fighting and they have conservatives and some put Netanyahu back in. They threw the other guy out. They got Netanyahu was in, they threw him out, and they brought him back in. And while they're fighting over politics, the enemy saw them busy and occupied. I'm thinking, dear Jesus, look at America. America is fighting over politics. It's almost, well, it's not almost, it is totally humiliating and embarrassing. For me to tell you this morning, though if you had the floor, you would say it too. It's embarrassing to think that America could be brought to her knees. At least Hamas had to come through barriers. At least they had to tiptoe and sneak in and come down out of the sky. But not our enemies. All they have to do is just walk right in. Just float across that river. Just walk across the river. Walk right in, baby, and we'll give you all the benefits the Americans get. You don't have to do squat. It's an old Texas word. If you don't know what it means, it means y'all don't have to do nothing. Just come in. They're coming in from China, Iran. I don't have to go into all that. You know they're coming in from all over. The enemy is in America. And while we are fighting over politics and pronouns. One couple quit my sister's and brother-in-law's church in Bakersfield. She just told me this last night. Said the mom and dad called because their daughter wanted to be called by another name. Or son. The son wanted to be called a female name. And they go, no. We're not going to call her a female name. Well, she's in the youth department. The youth department needs to call her that name. No, we're not going to do that because we believe God made man and God made woman, and we are not going to go against our beliefs. We're just not. You know what Mama said? Then we're leaving this church. See, most, you know what? They didn't say don't let the door hit you on the way out. They didn't say just ease on down the road. They're probably nicer than me. They just, well, we've loved you. You know, we've been good to you, and we love your girl. We're just not going to call her by her name. Him by her name or whatever it was. Whew. You know, some of us in this church, we came from the old church where the pastors used to preach with such conviction. Oh, my goodness. Though you were saved, you might go home examining yourself. Am I on my way to hell? Jesus, are you coming next week? I'm going to get myself ready. Because, you know, that kind of conviction was always on us. But now, my goodness. You got to be careful what you say. And you know the old preachers used to, they didn't even warn us and say, you better put your feet under the chair because I'm fixing to step on them. No, no, no. They just stomp, 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 walked all over you. You went home with bruised feet. They didn't give us no warning. But today, we pastors have softened our message because somebody's going to get their marbles and go home. Now, this woman my sister was talking about was a Christian. And it's not so much the sinners. See, the sinners expect us to be different. But it was a Christian woman that got upset. So today, it's not so much the sinners. It's the Christians that get upset if you're not politically correct. You offended me. What? So, how'd I get off on all that? So we're busy worrying about pronouns. Are you a she, a he, or a they? Well, just kind of look down, and it'll tell you what you are. That's all you got to do. So, we're not doing pronouns around here. And we can't, as Christians, we can agree with the world. So, we're busy trying to... You know what? Some of the people, the Palestinian protesters, I wouldn't call them that. I would just call them a part of the terrorist clan. Listen, if they're protesting, they're part of that clan. And so when they're saying, you shouldn't be showing those pictures of those babies and you shouldn't be showing those pictures, I totally agree with them. You shouldn't. Yes, you should not. They should not display that. However, they want to show our babies in first and second grade pornography in the school books. How can you be that dumb and still breathe? It's crazy. I mean, they've got all these things that just, they conflict each other. I better get on. Lord, help me. So how did the enemy get in? That's what I was trying to say. Well, he had years of planning over there. I mean, years of planning. I mean, some say they've got cities built underneath. Just not just tunnels, but cities underneath. They planned for a long time. Okay, so while America's fighting over this, just total foolishness and total distractions. See, the devil comes to distract. That's why he wants to distract a nation, distract a mom and dad, distract the church. If he can get us distracted on a little waffling or a little fuss or a little fight, if he can get us there, then he can just sneak in behind us. And so that's what the enemy, it'll be easy for America. So I want to give you some thoughts today on the weapons of war that we have available. And church, we better take advantage of them. Don't just let your weapons just sit in the closet. That's not going to work, not going to help us one bit. All right, so while we're fighting over that, we wonder what happened. So would you like to know what happened? Let me let Jesus give us the answer. Turn it over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, and look at this. The man asked the man yesterday, and it's a big question, even in the administration. How did this happen? How did they get past Israel's intel? When 9/11 happened, they had trained those terrorists to fly those planes. And we're saying, what? How did this happen? Well, Jesus tells us what happened in Matthew 13. Look at verse 25. Very simple. Very simple. Written in red, words of Jesus. But while men did what? His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And what did he do? He just took off. Hamas came in, just sowed their seeds and tried to take off. But oh no, Israel's going to get them. Came and they went their way. So Jesus is up to what the enemy has done. He said, he did this while you were asleep. And it's a very scary thing to think that America has gotten sleepy on the job because we have been so absolutely prosperous and blessed. Oh, America is so blessed. She's so beautiful. I was singing America the Beautiful song last night. Oh, beautiful America. So good, so helping, so giving. Such a wonderful nation that she has gone to sleep. And you watch people prosper sometimes, and they'll get so sleepy, spiritually speaking, so lethargic spiritually. And when that happens, you're really, really in a dangerous spot. Well, let me take you a bit farther. So Jesus knows. Turn over to, I was going to, in this message, I was going to go over to Ephesians 6, and we'll get there in a minute. But I stopped at Ephesians 5. So look over here to Ephesians 5. Let me bring up another point here by Paul. So Paul takes us a little bit farther. So they're saying, how did this happen? And Jesus says, because while you slept, the enemy came in. That's how that happened. You weren't paying attention in your marriage, and the enemy came in. You weren't paying attention in your finances, and the enemy came in. You were not paying attention at your job, and the enemy came in. You weren't paying attention in the church, pastor, and the enemy came in. We just got to pay attention wherever we are. When your body is hurting, you got a little something going on, you better pay attention. Said you can't sleep. Okay. So Paul says we better take it a little bit farther, because here's another thing they're talking about right now. You're hearing more and more whisperings about the sleeper cells in America. Does that alarm you? Thinking there may be sleeper cells in America. Well, there was with 9/11. And they just wait until they're called. They just wait. They just continue to train and train. And America's probably been training many of them that we don't know about. And they're called sleeper cells. They're just going to wait. And when their number comes up, they're called by ISIS or this terrorist group and just jump right out there. Okay, so Paul had a little something to say about that. Ephesians chapter 5, look at this, verse 14. He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Okay, that was an amen right there, but some of you haven't got a hold of that yet. Arise, awake, you who sleep. Oh, one of the translations, I believe, is a New Living Translation, says, awake, O sleeper. What's Paul saying? He says Jesus has sleeper cells too. So don't you worry about those sleeper cells. We got some sleeper cells in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, church. We may be a little bit sleepy, but he says, hey, I'm waking you up. I've got ways. I know how to wake you up. He's waking up Israel right now. He's waking us up before we just turn over and go back to sleep. But I believe there's an awakening coming where he says, no, 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 no. You won't be able to turn over and go back to sleep on this one. So Paul says, you all awake, O sleeper cell. He's calling us forth right now. He's calling us out. See, we're the separated ones. The anointed ones means separated. He said, so you wake up. Jesus was the first one to rise from the dead. Now you wake up, rise from the dead, and Jesus will give you light. I don't know how to do this on my own. Of course not. None of us can wake ourselves up by ourselves. Jesus didn't even wake himself up in the grave by himself. The Holy Spirit woke him up. And that's how you and your family are going to wake up. Say, oh, I don't know if my husband would ever wake up or my son or daughter. Oh, no, God knows how to wake them up. And probably because of you, you're the reason they're going to wake up. So he said, now get up. And then Paul gives us a little more instruction in verse 15. So he says, seeing then that he will give you light, you sleeper cells that are awakened now. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Why? Yeah, because the days are so evil. But he says, be awake, pay attention, and watch, and don't live like fools. Not in this evil time. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, which means wasteful, but be filled with the Spirit. This is the day where the Holy Spirit is coming into his house. This is the day where he's calling out his sleeper cells, saying, wake up, wake up, wake from the dead. I'm going to pour light into you. And that thing that was you were intoxicated with, I'll put it to sleep and I will wake you up and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, our meetings, our prayer meetings in this house, I declare to you, by the grace of God, our prayer meetings in this house that don't draw more than 20 people, I declare will be greater than what happened in the upper room. That's what I speak in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those of you that have suffered so long, your suffering's about done. Look at Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. These, I believe, are the very days of Isaiah 60. This was the chapter, Miss Alice, you might remember, this is the chapter I founded the church upon. And I've brought it up to you time after time after time. But I believe it's finally here. Look. Arise, there he is calling his sleeper cells to him. Arise, shine. How are we going to shine? Because he said, oh, when you get up, when you wake up, I'm going to put my light on you. Arise, shine, for your light, not his light, your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. When? When? When darkness covers the earth and deep darkness covers the people. Wouldn't you say that deep darkness, gross darkness has covered the people of the world? But the Lord will rise over who? Over you, church. And his glory will be seen upon those who slept in America, in the church, in the world. He said, I've got you all. And a wake-up time. It's time, church. It's wake-up time. Let's just shift gears one more time. As you've been watching TV, you've been seeing the missiles come over from Hamas into Israel. Hundreds and hundreds, even thousands. And you'll see them come through the air, and all of a sudden they disappear. What is that? That's what they call the dome, the Iron Dome, the Iron Dome. Oh, thank God for that. See, again, there's some of that great and intelligent, sophisticated weapon right there. They have the Iron Dome, and when these missiles come over, the Iron Dome will shoot right back and destroy the enemy's missile. Destroy it and take it down. But church, I'm going to tell you, we have an Iron Dome available to us. When the enemy shoots his weapons and his missiles and his rockets at us, God said, I've got an Iron Dome that I have given to you personally, and you can use it. to dismiss every one of the fiery darts of the demons. Hallelujah. Okay, look at Ephesians 6 and 1. Not 1. I'm sorry. I don't want to read all that. 6 and 10, Kathy. Let's go to 10. See, right here, the first word, it's one of the biggest words that I'm bringing to you this morning. And I want you to say it with me loud if you're reading from the New King James, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. What is the first word? Okay, it's like, look, you guys. You've had all this for a long time. Israel, listen, we were singing those songs this morning. I'm like, oh God, I just wish they knew what we knew. We were singing, Shay, say the name of Jesus. Say the name. Think about it. Israel doesn't know that. Hamas doesn't know that. Islamic terrorists don't know that. Muslims don't know that. But you and I know it. You and I know it, and I've been able to give you some awesome word this morning. This is ours. And we can sing those songs by faith. And, oh, I wouldn't take anything for this. This book has 66 little books in it, written by 40 authors, 40 different men over its period, over a span of like 1,500 years. And they only had one theme throughout the whole Bible, from Old Testament to New. One theme, Jesus. I didn't read about Jesus in the Old Testament. No, but you read about the sins of man, the sin of mankind. And you read about a deliverer. And you read about a redeemer. Oh, no, God knew how to cover their sins and pray them away. And the priest would go and represent them. But all of that said, 1,500 years apart, these 40 writers were, and that all just came together like this. Never contradicts itself. This is so supernatural, and it belongs to us. So finally, say it again, finally, who? That means ancestors. Finally, my brethren and sisters. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. My God. And in the power of his might. And then he goes on to say, put on the whole armor. God has given you mighty weapons from heaven. This is weapons of war right here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So to me, it looks like the whole armor just might be our iron dome. Amen? Woo! And then he says, but see, this will help you stand against the wiles and everything that the devil brings against you in this life. That's how you made it through, Tanya. That's how you made it through. Because see, when your son hurt himself, literally, can I say it? He killed himself. That was hard for a mama to see. Hard is not even a word for it. I thank God for your husband that was strong and right there for you. Your pastor, your church was there for you. But it wasn't really us. It was the Iron Dome. It was that Iron Dome that shot away the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, and that means tricks. Oh, he's full of tricks. See, the devil does not use the same tactic every single time. He will come at you from another angle. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of this present of darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. See, right there, In Israel, Hamas looks like two-legged men. They look like two-legged soldiers. They look like two-legged people. But I believe, I don't think you could be a just a normal two-legged man or a woman and do the heartless things that they did to the babies. Saw a sweet couple on TV yesterday. They were about 40-ish. This young man, he was standing there weepy-eyed, but he was strong in his faith. And the guy, the journalist said, I don't know how you could be this strong. He goes, my grandma and grandpa were murdered. And he had pictures. He brought pictures of their house and how grandma would cook so well and grandpa taught him to hunt. And oh, how he loved his grandmother and grandfather. And the journalist said, I don't know how you can be so strong, and had their pictures up there. Just looked like one of our, you know, our grandparents. Just good, ordinary folks. And the young man said, I never thought I'd be able to even talk if something happened to my papa. But he said, you know what? His character, I think, has helped me. See, he didn't know what we know, but even the character of his grandpa was in him. But see, how could you be that brutal and have a heart at all? So I would say, verse 12, let me read again, that Israel's really not dealing and wrestling against flesh and blood men, though it is them. But it's against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Not in heaven, but all around us. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand when, read those three words, that you may be able to stand in what? Read that in, three words, in the evil. I guess that's four words. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and done all you can do. What else? Just stand. Sometimes you're just plain old done everything. What in the world, what else can I do? Paul said, I know sometimes it's going to be rough, but you've done it all. He said, then you just get on the whole armor of God and you just stand. Every single morning I put the armor on. Every single morning I put it on my children. I put it on my grandchildren individually. It takes a long time. Now, I can't put it on you individually, but I put the armor of God on you every single day. About 6 o'clock in the morning, before you go to work, some of you before you get up, because Lord knows what you may go through tomorrow. You got to have the armor of God. And when you have it on, you can stand, as the young man said, against anything, though he didn't even know what you and I know. Amen. Verse 14 goes a little farther. Now you stand, therefore. Listen, some of you, don't turn me off here. Just, oh, Pastor, I know all this. I've read these scriptures for years. You better just knock it off. Okay, you ain't all that. You got to realize that when the word is speaking, the word is preaching, and the word is delivering, and the word is powerful. Verse 14, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and that waist means your mind, actually. But gird up your mind with a word. Listen, don't say I'm too busy. If you're too busy to read the word, listen, you got time for everything else. You have time for everything else. You better take some time for this, because it's your stay, it's your armor. Stand therefore, gird your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's how you stay holy. And if you do fall, he'll forgive you. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's the gospel of peace? It's Jesus himself. He's the prince. He's the prince of peace. I always love that term, the prince of peace. So I said, you got your feet shod. Wherever you go, you have peace, the peace of the gospel. Verse 16, above all, say those two words. Verse 16, what? Say it out loud. What does that mean? I gave you all these things to put on, but above all of that, say it again. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Keep your faith on. The shield of faith is not just a little shield that covers our heart. It covers us from head to toe, front to back, sides on both sides. I mean, it just surrounds us. So he said, now, above all, don't lose your faith. Okay, you got to have this. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench how many? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not just once in a while. Now, I beat it last week, but I don't know if I can get through this one. Oh, no, no, no. He said, above all, you get that shield of faith because the devil will try to talk you out of your faith. He'll try to steal it and rob it from you. Yeah, well, I prayed and I didn't see that happen. That's not up to you. You just keep your shield of faith on because he said with that, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the razor sharp sword, razor sharp on both sides, which is, he gives you the answer, he tells you what it is, that word, which is the word of God. Take the helmet. Now look, let me tell you something. If you're in this house this morning and you don't have the helmet of salvation, you've never given your heart to Jesus, or you took your helmet off and laid it down so you could compromise with somebody, I'm just saying, you better get that helmet back on your sweet head. And you better not walk out of your house without it. And if you never did get the helmet, you can get it this morning. You come without price. Doesn't cost you anything. He said, just tell them that I've got a helmet ready for them. And with that helmet, it'll cover your mind. It'll give you the peace of mind. Whenever we get all shook up about stuff, he says, you've got a helmet. Don't worry about it. You have a helmet and you have the sword of the Spirit. And you'll need this sword to slice and dice stuff through your day. Sometimes you have to slice things like a jungle, like a sickle in the jungle. You walk through the jungle, you've just got to cut stuff right out of your way. Verse 18, praying always with how much prayer? That means all kinds. It doesn't matter what kind of prayer you pray. He said, just praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He said, now you pray and you watch. You pray and you watch. David was talking to me about this the other day. He was talking to some ministries in a church, I guess, or somewhere. And he talked to, okay, he says, we keep an eye open. And we keep the sword in our hand or something to that effect. We watch and we pray. You keep an eye on the doors. We protect God's people. We pay attention. We're watching, but we're in the Spirit. Can we do the same? Can we stay in the Spirit? Of course we can. Kelly, you're a contractor. You get out there every day. You've got to nail those boards. You've got to do whatever you do. But you watch and you pray. That prayer's on you. But that whole time you're praying with all prayer, you're about your Father's business and your business. See, we don't just have our Father's business. We have our business to take care of. You all, you got some stuff. And Paul, the reason he said this is because he said, I know what kind of hard stuff you're going to have. Because Paul knew whatever he was going through, what he had to go through. So stand on your feet with me this morning. I'll just stop because I could just keep running those references and parallels all day. I just told Sarah and I told Brother Mike this morning. I said, Brother Mike, I just had to stop. You could just keep running parallels when you hear what's going on in that war. But I believe we have the captain of the Lord's host. I'm going to just have you stand and look at this. Kathy, please give me Joshua 5:13, and I saw Netanyahu, prime minister, I saw him walk up to the soldiers yesterday, and they say it's one of the last things that happens in most places. The president of America, or the prime minister, whoever it might be, when the guys are getting ready to go to war, they usually show up. And there was Netanyahu, and he said, guys, in his language, we're going to another level of war. And he said, this is going to be the big one. It's going to be rough. It's going to be difficult. And I saw him just shake their hands and pat them on the neck. You know, he knew that those young men may not be coming back. Some mama's baby, some wife, some wife's husband, baby's daddy. And so I'm sure that Netanyahu is talking to his God, saying, God, what am I going to do? Please help me. I mean, he's totally desperate. Well, Joshua, Israel was still going through way, way back there, you know, 6,000, 5,000 years ago. Joshua's like, God, here comes the enemy. They're coming from all directions. What do I do? And Joshua was all alone. And he said, God, for the life of me, I do not know. I just don't know what to do with all this. And I want you to see this. He was out there and he was saying, Lord, what do I do? And he thought his answer had showed up. Look at this. Joshua 5, 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or our adversaries? And this big old angel or whoever it was, let me read, what does it call him again? The commander of the army. No, go back to the first one. I want to see what it called him again. And it came to pass when Joshua was at Jericho, a man, it just says a man stood opposite with his sword drawn. So here's this giant of a man standing there with this sword. And Joshua says, thank God I have help. He looks like he knows how to use that sword. And Joshua says, are you for us or against us or for our adversaries? Who are you for? Well, ever since I've been a young girl, I never liked his answer. But I get it, you know, as I got older. Are you for us or for our adversaries? Look what he said. So he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And then the commander of the Lord's army are angels, by the way, all through the Old Testament, you'll see he's the captain of the Lord of hosts, the armies of the Lord, it's angels. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, What do you want me to do? Still, it was the wrong answer that Joshua was looking for. Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Well, Joshua didn't talk back and say, that wasn't what I wanted to know. Look what he did. Joshua did so. That's all he did. He just did what he needed to do. Now, let me tell you, Jesus has control of all nations, every part of our lives, every church around the world, your businesses, our businesses, our high schools, our elementary schools. He knows it all. So he doesn't come saying, oh, I'm for you, or no, I'm for them. He doesn't need to even give that. It was like a foolish answer to ask the commander of the Lord of hosts, who are you here to help? He's like, oh, dude, I meant. Okay, I'm the commander here. And so, what do you want me to do? I just need you to take your shoe off. You're on holy ground. And can I tell you, church, let's learn this lesson. When we're going through stuff, sometimes you're just on holy ground. It doesn't feel holy. It doesn't look holy. It looks like a big old mess. But the best thing we can do, Sandra, is just get down on our face before Him and say, Lord, here I am. You're the commander of the Lord of hosts, and I know your ministering spirits are come to minister to us. They are flames of fire. So I will just humble myself. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that you can stand in the evil day. And when you've done that, then He will exalt you. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, church. So above all, He said, take the shield of faith. All right, so let me remind you what we've read today. Not to sleep. Awake, O sleeper cells. Listen, I know I'm not keeping you standing long. But when your number comes up to do what God's called you to do, He's already had you in training. All these years you've been in training. I don't know. I don't know if He can use me, Pastor. What in the world would I do? He's the captain of the Lord of hosts. You just wait. When He calls your number, you will get up and do exactly what He planned for you, and you're going to be blown away. I can't believe it. He's using me like this in my city, in my state. I don't even know what I'm doing, but He says, oh, no, I've already trained you. You are not unqualified. You're way overqualified because I have blessed you. So the sleeper cells will soon be called up in the church and in the world and in Israel, I believe. And then, church, don't forget to use your iron dome. Pray, read, listen to your captain, wear your armor. And then I left one out, and that was a super dome. He said they have super domes. These people live in tunnels. And so these young men are going to have to go into these tunnels and work their way through. Now, some of them will have to do that, but they also have something called a bunker buster, which is also called a super bomb. But we also had you super bombs in this. You saw it. He said, to crush the devil, to throw away all the wiles of the devil in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this word you've given us. We thank you for heaven's weaponry. We thank you for the mighty power that you've put in our lives, in our hands. May your glory rise up within us. And Father, I pray today that if there's somebody in this room that does not, give me some music, Brother Chris, please. If somebody in this room does not have the helmet on, that they'll put the helmet on. Listen, you need to come and get your helmet today. You just need to come and get your helmet. Let's start there. You get the helmet. If you get the helmet, you get the rest. With that, you get the breastplate. You'll be able to understand the word better. You'll understand it all. But let's start with a helmet. Because with that, you'll have your feet shod with peace. Okay? Father, I pray that you help someone this morning. Give them the courage to come. Maybe they already know you. They love you with all of their hearts. But I'm just saying, if they've never bought your helmet with their faith, I pray that right now they'll get your helmet. Wonderful Jesus. So important, church. So important, my brother. So important, my sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, nobody knows it like you do. Nobody needs to come and get you. You know whether you want a helmet or not, or whether you need it. But it's the helmet of salvation. Would you pray this prayer with me then? Father, in the name of Jesus, I need everything that the pastor said I could have, that your word says that I could have. I need your helmet. I receive your salvation. Change my heart. Change my life. I give my life to you. I receive you, Jesus, into my heart. I believe you died for me. And you rose again. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, church. Get into this, please. Make time for the Word of God. Read it. It's the most powerful thing you can do. And talk to God. Amen. Well, I'll say Selah. blessings on you. The Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, turn His face toward you, and give you peace in your home, in your family, in your mind, at your job, in the church, in Jesus' name, until we are awakened, Lord. The great awakening is upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Hallelujah.